Welcome to the Redeeming Roots podcast, hosted by me, Megan Barrett. One thing I've learned in my own life and from the women I've coached is that when things aren't going the way you want, there's a reason. The truth that most people don't know is that your unconscious beliefs are hiding beneath every decision in your life and are directly responsible for creating your results. Here on the podcast and inside my coaching programs, we dig deep to get to the root of what's happening. Not only to heal the past, but to rewrite the script. So whether you want to grow your own business, become a more patient mom, or just heal your past wounds and live into the real you, I'm here to guide you towards a life that's rooted in love, truth, and authenticity, where you are able to fully trust and lean into your own intuition. Thanks for being here. Let's dig into today's episode.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the podcast. Today we have a very special guest, a friend and colleague, Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen. Kirsten, welcome. So happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, we're going to have a really great conversation, but first let me tell people who you are. So Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen is a performance coach for high-performing women and moms. She supports women in creating a positive mindset and resiliency in their health and mental well-being. So she earned her doctorate in chiropractic and continued with her passion for health to get a master's in human nutrition and functional medicine. She believes taking a truly holistic approach to the body is vital for creating optimal health and that we have the power to create anything we want in our life. She's the founder and owner of her own practice, Northwest Functional Medicine, and founder of drkirsten.com. You guys, we are so fortunate to have Kirsten here with us today. You may hear her across the interwebs as Dr. K or Dr. Kirsten or Kirsten. I'll probably interchange all of those today, but we're talking to her and just having her share her experiences, her knowledge, and just having her be here with us. I'm just so excited to dig in.
Oh, I am too.
So Kirsten and I both have a heart for helping women and moms recover from burnout and, you know, prevent it from happening in the first place would be great too. So we're going to talk about burnout. And I mean, I just read Kirsten's bio. So let's just kind of bullet point some of this stuff. She's a chiropractor, studied functional medicine, nutrition. She's also a new mom and she lives on acreage. So Kirsten, you have a lot going on in life. So maybe you could share a little bit about your burnout story, whether it happened recently or long ago, because I mean, we all have so much going on. And I think everyone actually has a burnout story, especially if you're someone who's helping people with burnout. It's like, yeah, been there. Don't want to do that ever again.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So, probably the best place to start is, I mean, I've been in a place of burnout so many times in my life. Like I can very much so pinpoint times like in high school where I was just so burned out because, and this we'll probably like get to this, but you know, the biggest piece of, and why the mindset piece of this is so important and really getting to the root of it is so important if you want to like actually not get into burnout again forever in your life. But one of the things that I realized as a kid, and especially going through junior high and high school, was that I had definitely learned and linked that like my self-worth and my value is and feeling enough and like all of those things was absolutely tied to my achievements. 1,000%. If I did well, I got praise. So I was like, oh, when I do all of these things and I do them well, then I feel worthy. I feel loved. I feel valued. I get people feel proud of me. Like it meets all of my needs. Right. So, and this is coming from someone like I went to a private school, an all girls private school that was entirely focused on getting a really good education and getting you into college. So it was like, a lot of work. The bar was very, very, very high. And then I also played sports and I also played piano and not just like any sort of like piano lessons. Like I was, of course, Looking back now, I'm like, of course, this is the pattern. But I was practicing for and train. Well, essentially, I was like training and practicing for a junior level, a college level junior recital, which is where you have 11 pieces entirely memorized, and you have a big long recital around that. Except that I was doing it with somebody else, so they had parts of it, their own parts of it, instead of like a, for those of you out there that don't know, a senior recital would then be where you have the entire like hour or two all to like yourself. So you do
Oh my
full
goodness.
on, never stop. Everything's from memory, you know. And I'm not just here's the thing. I'm not just talking about like little things, like very big, long classical pieces that have like three movements and are just like this, you know. Anyway. I say this because it's important, because for the whole context of it, because you know, this is something where not only was I playing sports, but I was also having like multiple, like I had home, like homework, you know, it was a lot. And then on top of that, I was, you know, practicing anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half, and then somehow fitting in family time and friends. Like it's a lot for anyone, right? So that is where it all started, really, right? Like that's where the root of all this like burnout and things started. And I now link a lot of it also to the fact that like I lived in Washington, so I didn't see the sun very much. I had a lot of like vitamin D deficiency issues throughout the year, especially throughout the winter, which is like the majority of your school season because you're not in school in the summer. So there were a lot of different things that, like, when we look at it from like a holistic perspective, we don't just want to like, we don't want to miss the other pieces too, right? That are contributors, which can be your environment, where you live. All of those things can absolutely affect how we, how our brain and our mind gets into certain patterns and you know, things like that as well. So then you lead into college, and I graduated in 3.5 years with 2 degrees, one in Spanish and one in psychology and neuroscience. And then I went and I got a doctorate of chiropractic and then a master's of human nutrition and functional medicine, which I did at the same time as my doctorate, of course. And then now I have my, you know, master's level certification in neurolinguistic programming and life coaching and things like that. So then I started my own practice in chiropractic. That then I eventually led to bringing in functional medicine. But for anyone out there that does run their own business, it can be very challenging for many different reasons. And you end up really coming face to face with the patterns that don't work for you anymore. So I was in this chiropractic business, and I was realizing, I didn't realize at the time, but I know now that I didn't like what I was doing. I didn't like it. And on top of that, it was just such a challenge as far as from like a financial side, because I didn't know my own value, my own worth. I wasn't really charging enough for what I was offering. There were like so many things that are like aspects of leading to burnout, especially for people who, you know, in the workforce. Like if you're working a lot for something, even if you believe in it and you think you're having like such a significant impact, but like the income level isn't there, that's another pattern that can absolutely lead to burnout. So, you know, all of those pieces. And then on top of that, what did I do? I was like, oh, you know what sounds great is we should just become an Ironman. We should do an Ironman triathlon. And for those who need
Of
context on that
course, of
one,
course.
that's a 2.4 mile swim. That's 120 mile bike ride, something like that. I should know that. And then a 26.2, so a marathon at the end. And that requires a significant amount of training, right? So that's like 10, 15, 20 hours a week all on that. So my point in sharing all of this is like, that's how I got into burnout, is I kept layering, doing more and more and more and more and more. That what in my brain was like, oh, this is how I'm going to get out of the pattern of burnout. But that's actually the way that you dig the hole deeper. And it took a lot. And it's still, I still have things where I have to like remind myself that that's an old pattern and that's not the way to success. But that is really where like you start to recognize all of the patterns that lead into it. And once you start realizing like what is it that's why do I keep coming here over and over and over again? The way to get out of that pattern is to actually get to the root of where the patterns are coming from. So there you go. That's my story of it. And I would absolutely say that I think that I would be experiencing it in motherhood had I not been given the opportunity to face it in business. I think motherhood and business, or parenthood and business, are two of like the biggest things that have kind of forced transformation in my life. But one or the other, or both, you end up facing a lot of your stuff. But I had kind of the opportunity to face it before motherhood, so I think that's been a huge help. Anyway, okay, there's my story.
You've just been busy for a long time then. Like,
Oh yes,
I
yeah.
mean, part of it is your human design, right? You're a manifesting generator. So part of it is you do have that energy. So if you're someone like me with the undefined sacral, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm tired, like thinking about doing all of those things. Like, I'm so tired. However, we are all unique, so we all have different capacities. So Kirsten has like a higher base level of capacity than I do, in my belief, and just in my experience. And I'm curious, when you were like in those different places, so like for example in high school, did you know in the moment that you were like burning out? Because I personally haven't ever, it's been harder, at least the first time, it was hard for me to realize in the moment. And then afterwards, it's like, oh yeah, I was totally burnt out back then. And I'm wondering if that's the same for you, or if you were like, oh no, I'm totally doing too much in the moment.
No, I didn't realize that until I didn't realize I was in burnout, actually in it, until I was in it with the like chiropractic stage of things when I had my practice there. Like I knew for sure I was burned out at that time. But other than that though, like no, because I didn't have the like I didn't listen to a podcast like this one that would have shown me like, oh, well, okay, God, that's definitely where I have that, you know. So like I didn't learn that piece of it. I didn't really even know what burnout or like exhaustion, overwhelm, any of these pieces were until after a lot of it. But
Yeah,
yes.
and I'm And so I feel like with burnout, it's almost like we have to know our own patterns, kind of like from what you're saying, and then from my own experience, it's like the pattern aspect keeps coming up for me as I think about it. It's like for one person, the same activity might not lead to burnout. For
Oh,
another
yeah.
person, it might. And then also it's like, what are like the internal thoughts? Like, why am I doing this? So you kind of brought up like, using like achievement, kind of linking to worth. And like, I feel like so many people have, even just from school, you have that in your kind of ingrained in us. Like, if we're growing
Yes.
up, it's like, oh, you did the right thing and you get a gold star and you did everything you needed to. And so, I mean, I feel like I definitely had that kind of like good student, still have it, I'm sure, in layers, but like I think that can contribute for so many of us to like wanting to do more and thinking, I'm just going to get more gold stars.
Yeah, and
Where are my gold stars?
totally, and specifically women. Because now I'm not saying that men don't also have this, but there's like kind of the good girl pattern is what we could say. It's like, and this is just something like to be very curious about. If any of you are like, oh, what does she mean by that? And like, I think that might be me. It's just being really curious about it because where it shows up, like, you know, if you find, and this is a pattern that I have, is like when I'm coach with people. So like, when I like have my own coaches or things like that, like I have to be very aware when I bring stuff up that like, I will sometimes fall into the patterns of like, look at all the things that I've done, you know, and like, look at all of the stuff that's gone well, and like, look at how good I'm being because I'm doing all of the things. Like, there are these patterns that are like really deeply ingrained. But like the thing is that, so here's one pattern, right? And so we'll break this into some patterns here. So maybe some people can like kind of align or figure out if like this might be one of their patterns and just become a little bit more aware of it. Like one pattern is definitely this kind of like good girl, like I'm being good, I'm being obedient, I'm doing the things well, blah, 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 like all of that. That pattern is really kind of driven into girls through school for sure. And that pattern also then can lead to being a perfectionist as well as a people pleaser. And when you have that pattern, both perfectionism and people pleasing, you end up not really having very good boundaries usually. And because you don't want to upset people, because you don't want to make them uncomfortable, because you want everyone to be happy. You want everybody to be okay, right? So you're going to sacrifice some of your own self, your well-being, like all of those things to make somebody else feel better. And that usually ends up leading to having very not great boundaries, also having a lot of feelings around setting boundaries and like fear and all that stuff that then, you know, that might be showing up at work in your career. And that's why you're feeling burned out and you want to leave it. Or that might look like you don't have that anywhere in your like family, your personal life, your extended family or friends or whatever, right? Like this could show up all over the place. But when you look at it, that's like one of the patterns that can absolutely lead to burnout, because that what that means is that you're adding so much more on your plate that's not a yes, that's not a like I want to do that. They're usually things you're like, ugh, like no, I don't want to do that, but I can't say no, so I'm just going to say yes. And then you're like, ugh. So oftentimes what I talk about with people with that pattern is like when I talk about, hey, we need to look at doing less, people go, I don't know how I could be doing less, because like how could I do less? I literally have my hands in like all of the things. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly my point, right? Like there's no boundaries here, and you've said yes to so many things that are not a like solid yes for you, right? These are all no's, and they can sometimes be tied to these like people pleasing tendencies. Happens at work, in our career, like all the time at any level. And it can happen with being a parent, with your kiddos, like all of it. Can I move on to the next pattern? Do you have any
Yeah,
follow-up
I
on
want to
that?
ask a couple questions.
Yeah.
So, or maybe just comments. Like,
Yeah.
I think people could be listening and they're like, "Oh yeah, maybe I do some people pleasing, or like maybe I don't have the best boundaries, but like what's really the problem?" Right? Like
Yeah,
it's working for me, right? And I think
totally.
we see people who are almost like in denial of like the effect it's having on people. So, I wanted to just kind of point out here that you just kind of alluded to it, but like I think the what's going on inside of you when you say yes to things is a huge indicator that like either something is like a great thing to say yes to or something's not. Like, do you feel like peace and like great? Do you feel excited about it versus like I have to do this and now I'm resentful? I think like
Oh,
that
that's
inner emotional compass is like gotta pay attention to that. It's not just like everyone else is happy around me, so I'm doing the right thing, like bringing that inward. And I want to touch back on something else, but you go on to the next pattern. I'm going to make a note of it right here.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah, so that's such a great point, right? Is like, you know, so much of this is just bringing awareness to the pattern. And like, you may not be in burnout now, but if you are someone who has been there before and you're looking for ways to get out of it, it's becoming aware of these patterns. Like, it might be fine right now, right? Like, it might be you're not in burnout, but like, this is the time to do it then, is like to get into the root of it, because it will come up again if you've been burned out before. It's just a matter of time, honestly, right? So and then again, it's up to you. You get to choose whether or not you do something about it or not. And you can keep repeating the pattern over and over and over again, but like at some point you might get to the point where you're like, okay, I really don't want to do this anymore, which is where I was at, right? It's like I just realized, I was like, well, this isn't working for me and I don't want to do this anymore. And it was also starting to affect my health. Like I was getting daily stress hives after like a huge breakout of hives. It was awful. It was like all over my body. Terrible, terrible, terrible thing. It took me like 8 months to heal from all of that. So I'm not just saying that this is like just showing up in like your mental space, right? Although it does a lot, it also can have a huge impact on your health too. So like looking at it from a holistic perspective and from a functional like nutrition or medicine perspective, autoimmune disease, gut health, like all of those, like there's so many different. And mine was hives, like hives. You wouldn't think that that had anything to do with what was going on in your brain, but it did, you know? So this is just kind of like looping in that piece of like everything is so connected, and it's really important that we don't discount how powerful our brain is and our mindset is, because it drives so much of what shows up in our physical body. So there's kind of maybe like another sort of like pattern that people have is that that can very much so be associated with burnout and overwhelm, is that, you know, we have these things going on in our physical body that we think are just associated with that one like organ system, the gut, the heart, hormones, which is not an organ system, but it associated with multiple different organs. But you know, we think we have these very specific things that are like, oh, I just need to take this pill, or oh, I just need to do these supplements, or oh, I just need to fix my diet and exercise and sleep better. When in reality, too, there's oftentimes a mental piece that's associated with that. And I see so often that like burnout and overwhelm are associated with some sort of like high blood pressure or some sort of physical symptom. Insomnia, people not being able to sleep, right? And people not being able to find the solution. Like how many people have tried so many different things, and some of it might be working a bit, but it's not the full 100% resolution. A lot of the times the brain and the mindset can be a big piece of what's contributing there. So that's kind of another pattern I would say of burnout and overwhelm, is like what's going on in like the physical body. And then I have one more, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, that's great because that was actually what I wrote down, was like I was going to ask you what the physical symptoms of burnout, like what you see, because you do see people, I mean, they come to you for functional medicine, they're like, oh, Kirsten's going to help me, I have this problem, and then you're like, well, let me open this door into the mental and emotional. I view burnout kind of as like three different doorways, kind of like the physical, the mental, and the emotional. And you can kind of enter whatever doorway you're going to enter, and you might be more aware of one than the other, right? Like, oh, I just like you said, I just have high blood pressure. That's my problem. And it's like, let's get to the root of that. Like, what's going on underneath that? Or I'm just so like stressed thinking about things. I'm so overwhelmed. And then kind of leading into, you may make those connections of, oh, I actually do have these physical things that are going on. I never really would have thought they were all connected, but it's the brain. It connects all of it. So
It
there's
does.
that. Yeah.
And you bring up a great point, 'cause like the third piece I would say too of like the patterns. Well, and this is, there's so many more, but like the three that I'm just going to highlight. So the third one would definitely be something along the lines that I alluded to at the beginning in my story, which was that from the emotional piece, definitely, like you mentioned, we'll drop into that one too. But from the like sense of, I think, worthiness, of like having your sense of self-worth tied to you as like a parent, or you as who you like, what you do, and how you achieve, and how you like what you accomplish in your life. When you have that sort of pattern tied to your sense of self-worth, that will consistently lead to burnout, because what ends up happening is like not only is that taking over like your and also I would say this too, like I felt like this is where I created my own little self-made prison. I know that sounds really like dramatic, but like it kind of was, you know? I mean, I realized that everything that I was creating, while I felt like I was having such a big impact, it didn't feel good to me. And it was a drain of a lot of my energy. And I see this a lot with women who are high achievers or like have really successful careers. They can sometimes get to a point, especially when their sense of self-worth is tied to their achievements. There comes a point where they are like, I could just walk away from this tomorrow, literally. And or they feel like they're stuck in it and like they can't walk away from it. And they like are searching essentially for everything outside of themselves to fill whatever it is that they're trying to get, how they want to feel. So like, oh, if I make more money, then I'll be happy. Oh, if I have better health, then I'll feel good. Oh, if I have a family, then I will feel fulfilled, which actually usually family does end up helping women feel fulfilled. But that's the kind of point though, is that like the more that you are searching for things outside of yourself instead of really owning and stepping into your power and knowing that you are worthy, that you are enough, and that you matter, and that you are significant, just that without anything else. That is where a lot of the times those patterns can like stem from and root from. That's kind of like the third pattern that I see a lot, is that and that's the one that I obviously was in a lot. Well, actually, I was in all three of them, let's be honest. So no wonder I was wired for burnout. That's, you know, and then also I was in healthcare, and like we know that especially women in healthcare, but men too, there's like 50 or 60% of people in healthcare will experience burnout in their life. And it's usually because they fall into these certain patterns. So yeah, I think the next place probably would be to like talk about the emotional side, but I wanted to address that pattern there too, because it's such a common one.
Yeah, and I want to touch on something you said about, maybe if I have a family, then I'll like fill that hole, like be fulfilled. And I think it is true that that does fill that need for at least a little bit for moms, especially. I think what I see happening is then as the kids get older, then they start having higher criteria, like, well, if my kids are happy, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be fulfilled. And then that's when you find so many moms, like, you see like the helicopter moms doing everything they can because they don't want their kids to struggle because the kids being happy all the time is tied to them being happy all the time. And like it just goes and goes and goes. So I just wanted to touch on that because I see a lot of that for sure.
Oh, that's a great, yes, that's yes. I had a point and then my mom brain took over, so I don't remember what I was going to say, but I do think that's really a really good a good point. Oh, I was going to say, so the thing to be on the lookout for with that is like if that is you, or like if that's the, you know, people listening, when we are there's something also that's really important to kind of keep in mind, is that we can like the important piece is getting to the point where you are meeting your own needs first. So many women will, and again, this is just be curious about these patterns. That doesn't mean they like cause any guilt or shame or anything like that. Bringing awareness to patterns is really important because then you know what you can do to shift them. It's not anything to feel guilty about or shameful around or anything. But when we meet our own needs, so many women will outsource their needs to kids. Well, actually, it's not just women. Men will do this too, but like they'll outsource their needs to other people versus meeting their needs themselves. Or like how many parents will sign up for like a course or do different things because they're like, oh, it'll make me a better parent, when like they really need it for themselves first, you know, and then as a parent. But anyway, so what can happen here is that because of our different like belief systems that we created, or what we didn't get met as a kid, these different needs, right? Of like being significant, knowing that we matter, somebody being proud of us, being seen and heard, being loved, knowing that we can and we are lovable and we are, we can seek out and we can have connection with people, knowing that we are worthy, that we are enough, that we are supported, we're safe. You know, all of these different needs oftentimes can go unmet, or they could be met by like our parents, but somebody else along the way, whether that's our siblings or another teacher or another adult in our life, could undo a lot of that or some of those things in those categories. What can end up happening is that we, instead of meeting those needs ourselves, we end up in a pattern where we want somebody else to meet that need for us. So that could be your kids, just as you mentioned, right? Like the helicopter parent or the parent that's like, oh, my, I want my kids to be happy, so I'm going to, like, you know, do everything I can to make them happy so that I can be happy. It's very needy. It outsources your needs onto somebody else, and that's very, very difficult to sustain for somebody else. Or the opposite, which is that we could just give up on our needs. And then that ends up leading to a lot of disappointment, defeat. You know, you see it a lot, like, oh, well, I just won't get married again, or I just won't do that anymore. You know, I just won't, well, I don't, oh, what was the common one? Like, I know this one 'cause it was a pattern when I was growing up, but like, well, I just won't have high expectation. I'll just lower my expectations. Giving up, right, on whatever that was, whatever that need was. The key here is to actually realize that we actually have the responsibility to meet those needs ourselves first. And how we do that, which Megan and I are both trained in the same thing. So like getting coaching from Megan is such a great resource, because that's how you can meet some of those needs and learn how to meet them for yourself first, so that then you can show up as like the mom, the business owner, the entrepreneur, the like person who you want to be and who you are. You can do that without then feeling like these other things need to meet those needs for you.
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, the value in having like a coach, an outside opinion, or just an outside view of what's happening in your life is like, you can become aware. Like, that awareness piece may not happen for years, like until you like physically crash, or something else major happens, unless, you know, someone can say, you know, I see this pattern in you. Is this something you like identify with? Do you want to work on it? Like, I think that's so valuable to be able to have someone who is trained like we are, who's like, I see these, I hear these two things coming out of your mouth, and I know that they're related, and you don't see that they're related, but I can see that they're related. Like, that's just such a powerful thing. And then like for Kirsten and like your clients, you have the physical piece too, where you can be like, oh, well, obviously this physical symptom is going to be connected to this. And someone might be like, wait, what? How do you know that? So I feel like we're kind of like those people who connect the dots. It's like, oh yeah, there's that and this, and here's how it's all connected. And just having someone to kind of reflect back to you, I think can just be so, so valuable for sure.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I'm the kind of person that likes to move quickly. Like, when I know what I want it. Like, I mean, I have to tell a story. When I was 4 years old, I wanted a new bike. And my mom was like, 4 or 5, I wanted a new bike. And my mom was like, well, you got to get off training wheels. And I was like, well, watch me, you know? And so literally by the next weekend, my dad was out there teaching me how to ride without training wheels, you know? And sure enough, like, I was off training wheels like that weekend or the weekend after, you know, my mom was like, well, shoot, you know, so I had to go buy me a new bike. I like to move quickly in my life when I know what I want. And so, also it's not that I don't like to be in pain necessarily, but like, I've lived a lot of my life in these patterns for a long time and realized like that they just don't work for me. And I kind of got to a point once I realized there was another way. I was like, oh, I want that way. You know, we're like, it, once you recognize the pattern and then you have the person to help you, or like if you don't recognize the pattern, when you start working with these tools, your subconscious mind brings up the things. It creates the situations in life for you to be able to like get rid of the pattern, you know? So, I guess in that sense, like for me, once I realized like burnout, for example, was a pattern, I was like, oh, great. I don't ever want to get to the point again where I feel like I have to stop working or I have to give up this thing for a bit until it all gets better. And then I'll be, and then I can go back to work just to have the whole same pattern happen over and over and over again. Like, oh, no. So now, you know, I've realized that when you work with someone who can actually address and kind of like put all the patterns together for you and get you outside of your head, because all you see are like the blocks of like, I don't understand why I can't do this thing. I can't make it work. I just don't get it, you know? That's once I started realizing there was another way, I was like, oh, this is what everybody needs, including myself.
Yeah, and I think it's so interesting. I was talking to someone the other day and they were commenting on some friends who had said like, "Ooh, that sounds like so much work, like doing kind of this inner work. Like that sounds
Oh,
really hard."
interesting.
And I think it's interesting because I think you get to like choose your hard, right? Like
Oh,
they're
1,000%.
both hard, and which one leads to the life that you want to be living? Like, I mean, you and I are both in the one camp where we're doing the inner work and we're like working through our stuff as it comes up. And we see, like, we can like feel the benefits and we can experience the benefits in our life. And I just want, if anyone is listening and they're like, "Ooh, that all this mindset stuff, that sounds like a lot of work." It's like, well, so is, not doing it, right? Like, it's a choice. Everyone has that choice. And increasing choice is always a wonderful thing. But just recognizing that you are choosing certain things in your life can be freeing in and of itself.
A really good point. And sometimes it doesn't always look like you think it's going to look on the other side. But I don't know about you, but like, I like looking back, I would not, I would, I definitely would say that I would not want to go back to like where I was.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because we're always going to have problems in life. It's kind of so you are in many ways choosing your problems, but I'd rather choose the problems, I guess, in the way that like I have now than have been continuing the same pro like the burnout and like living in daily hives. Like, nope, nope, don't want to go back there, you know? So, like, I think that's yes, you are absolutely choosing your hard. Personally, I think this, and that's a really good point. Like, I think so many people want to heal because they're looking for that. And sometimes I don't think we really know or understand what that's going to actually take from us. It will take for us, I should say. It's not going to take anything away from you necessarily, but what it's going to take in order to get there. Maybe that's a good thing that we're naive to that sometimes. But at the same time too, I think it's really, really important for people to know that like if you want to create whatever it is in your life, like you can. It's just how committed are you?
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you're gonna go climb Mount Everest, you could stand at the bottom and look at the top and think, that looks really hard. Or you can just like look down and do like one step at a time, like focus on like the one next step. And I feel like if you have like a coach guiding you, they can be like, "Here's your next step. Here's what you do next." Versus like, "That's a huge mountain and I don't want to tackle all of that like in one sitting."
Yeah. And how many times you have like a coach for that, right? Or a guide for that? It's really tough to do this stuff on your own if you don't have the if you don't even know where to start, you know, if you don't have the tools, if you don't even know like how to kind of guide yourself through it. Like we have these tools and like we have coaches.
It's
Because
true.
you need them. Like it's just it's you know, actually I shouldn't say that. You don't necessarily need them per se, but they are extremely helpful to have, and they do help a lot.
Yeah, and I think you kind of said this earlier, but I find that when I go for a period of doing that, like trying to do it on my own, and then I have some support afterwards, it's like, wow, I really feel like me doing it on my own is like me like having my blinders on my problem of like, here's my problem, here's my problem, here's my problem, and really like having that coach be like, here, let's take off those blinders. Like, look at all of these other things like that we can talk about or use or like resources or whatever there is to work through. But
Or if
it's
you're
easy
like,
to feel like, yeah, I can do this and like maybe, but it's kind of limiting at the same time.
Well, 2 points on that. Like, one thing for sure, as you mentioned, like, yes, you can do it on your own. For sure. It's a lot harder though, because it just is. Like, it's harder when you don't have someone there supporting you and guiding you in the things that you don't know. It might take a lot longer, but yeah, like absolutely you can. The other thing I was gonna say though too is like, or you need someone there of like, yes, all of like I'm kind of the person that like creates all of the things. Just this week, I was telling my coach right before this, I was like, just this week alone, I came up with five different ideas of how I can get out of this problem that I have, you know? And she was like, I think your problem is that you don't stick with one thing. Which is so good though, right? Like I say this as an example just because like this is also a way that I have led myself to burnout, right? And like at the start of the call with her, I was like, so you know that old pattern that I have, like I started it up again, you know, and it the whole call was so helpful because what it did was it really helped me to realize like this is probably one of the main reasons why I don't have what I want right now, what I'm working towards, is because I do that. And so, you know, and but I get really focused in on like this is the problem, so like I can't see any other way to do it except for like to create all of the things.
Yeah, well, I mean, even
You
just
know.
you saying at the beginning of that call, hey, you know that pattern, like you're aware of it, you bring it up, and then it's like such a different, the awareness of it is freeing, right? And it's not like someone's gonna like you feel like shame or guilt about it. It's just it's almost like it's like an old friend. It's like, oh yeah, that old friend came back to visit. And then like, how are we gonna just like identifying it, I feel like can be so helpful. That awareness step is like it's like such a big step. And it's such a good one. So I love that you even went to the call saying that.
And I guess I would say just the last like piece on that is that I think this is also really the big benefit of like having long-term coaching in a sense. Like I don't know if you've seen this with your clients, but like one of the things I've realized is that once you start the process, like you can stop it at any time, and your brain will bring up and your mind will literally bring up situations in life that it's like, cool, I'm ready to work past this now. Okay, cool, I'm ready to work past this now. And I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine who I worked with a little bit in the fall, and she goes, yeah, what I didn't realize was, or like now I see the benefit of having like long-term coaching is because these things now start to come up and I like had the perspective shift to be able to like address it at the time. And I can see how like now life is kind of just bringing up opportunities for me to like work through this next piece and this next piece. And this is how like working long term would be really beneficial. And I was like, yes. So I don't know if you've seen that on your side, but I do think that's if you have something very specific that you're wanting to create in your life, whether that's like optimal health or like something in business, as you mentioned, or like burning out and getting rid out of that pattern, like getting out of that pattern isn't necessarily going to take a long time, but I can kind of get, like guarantee you that like once you start it, there's probably other things that are going to come up that you're going to realize like, oh, that's another layer of this, or oh, that's another piece of this, right? And then having the support over time to go through all of those pieces is just really helpful. So.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. And I think some of those patterns, like our core patterns, or like kind of the things we like habitually do, come out in all different areas. And it's like, oh, that's maybe it doesn't, it like kind of has like a mask on or something, like a costume. And it's like, oh, that's not the same thing. And then when you dig in, it's like, oh yeah, that's the exact same problem that I've worked through so many times, and now it's another layer. Yeah.
Such a good way to put it. I love that. I love
Yeah,
that.
it's a great visual for me.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about motherhood and burnout.
Okay.
Our stories are, the timelines of our stories are very different, because I had all my kids before I even started any of this mindset stuff and work and anything. And so the first few years of my motherhood journey were very much in that, people pleasing, doing all the things for everybody else at the expense of my own health and all the things, like, that one pattern was like me to a T. And then I started doing this work just a few years ago. And you did a lot of work before you had kids at all. And I'm very curious to hear kind of, I mean, you kind of already said earlier that, motherhood hasn't been kind of a source of burnout for you, because you've worked through it in business. But I wonder if you wanted to share anything about either, like, was that a conscious choice to kind of do this work before having kids? Did it just kind of happen? Or
Yeah.
what do you want to share about that?
Oh, I have so many things to share, but I'll try and like keep it contained because that's probably a whole other episode, to be perfectly
Yeah,
honest.
it's so true.
But you really hit on some really good points there. So like what I would do, like if I were to go back and do this again, and like let's say you have a listener out there right now that's like in the place where they are thinking about having kids, and they have the opportunity to kind of prepare for it, which has a whole other kind of thing. I think we think a lot about, because I'm a planner, so of course I was like preparing for all the things, but like thinking about the nutrition side and like the quality of the eggs and like all of that stuff. Like I'm such a nerd, so of course I was like, yes, all the nutrition, all the things, like this all has to be on point. Yes, all of that, and I would also include this sort of like coaching for sure, because now looking back, I had the opportunity to go through so many of these things that then what ended up happening, which was eye-opening to me, which is now why I am completely pivoting and doing what I do now and supporting women in the way that I do now, is that when I was going through pregnancy, because I had shifted all these things, what then ended up becoming very clear to me was how many women have not gone through these things and the challenges that end up coming up. Like, I can't even tell you how many people were like, oh, you know, this pattern, like, oh, just, you know, it's like kind of maybe pregnancy's going well. Oh, just wait till the second trimester. I mean, the second trimester is going okay. Oh, just wait till the third, you know? And then you're like in, oh, you know, you're in third trimester. And they're like, oh, just wait until you're not going to have any sleep and the newborn's here, you know? And then it's like, oh, but just wait till the toddler's here, you know? And then, oh, just wait till they're teenagers, you know? And it just like is this whole thing. There's this weird pattern that can sometimes happen that it's, and also with birth and labor and the trauma that can come from that too, that, it's almost as if, I know it is as if people have not, women have not necessarily processed the things that have come up and the patterns that are coming up. So they like, it's just a different scenario when you're able to go into motherhood from a place of having like a regulated nervous system. And what I mean by that is that you have tools to be able to get into where you need to like kind of have stress and like things like that, and then also you're able to get right back into like your rest and digest system, and you're able to fluctuate between the two, and a lot of the things in your life aren't triggering. Like the fact that I didn't have a whole lot of sleep in the beginning wasn't that triggering to me, and actually I've been able in the last, you know, 4 months or so to be very calm through all of it. And the reason I'm able to do that is because I'm not getting triggered by things all the time, because I've dealt with a lot of the thing that's a really key point there. Like if you're listening, This is a key point. It's like, if you are able to address a lot of your triggers before going into motherhood, your kids are going to be a lot less triggering, period. And kids are triggering. Like, they will show you all of the things that, like, you have not dealt with yet. So whether you're in motherhood or beforehand, it's the perfect time to work on these things, because you first off are doing it for yourself. First and foremost, you're doing it for yourself. And then, because you're doing it for yourself and you're working on those things, you also become a better parent. You become a better partner. You become all of those things. Like, you are able to show up in a very, very different way. So yes, to your point, I did work on all those things beforehand, and I had the support going through pregnancy to work on all the things that were coming up for me. Like, slowing down was really, 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 really hard. It's still hard, to be perfectly honest. I'm still working on it, and I'm much better with it, though, you know, being open to receiving all of these things that are, like, really big key things that happen during pregnancy and then going into being a mom. They're definitely areas of life that we can grapple with a lot. And when you have the tools to be able to work with the different layers that are associated with them, it makes going through, I would say, being a mom easier in a sense. I definitely would say parenting has had more ease and flow and adaptability than challenge and struggle and stress. And that's coming from a place of, like, I had a very, very, very traumatic birth labor process, like, super traumatic. So this isn't just me saying, like, oh, I had, like, the best birth ever and, like, all these things that everything went right. Like, no, everything did not go right. And I still have a lot of ease and flow because I've been able to work on these things. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it really does. I think that I really love the sentence that you said that was like, if you work on your triggers, your children will be less triggering. Like, that's going to be my soundbite that we're going to advertise with this one, because I think it's so easy as a mom to think, oh, like, if my kids wouldn't do that thing, then I wouldn't get this irritated or angry or whatever.
Yes.
And I always say, like, nothing brings up, like, all of the self-doubt and all of those inner voices, like a baby that's, like, screaming in your arms and you can't calm them. Like, it's almost like, here, you want to be triggered? Let's figure out what you need to work through. Here's a baby. It's your job to, like, make them happy. Hold the baby. And if the baby doesn't, then it's like, why can't I do this? What am I doing wrong? If only I could do this. Like, what are those things you're saying to yourself?
Yep.
And I think every mom has experienced that. And I can totally see what you're saying about, if you've worked through those things, those voices will, they'll either be, like, less of them, or they'll be quieter, or they'll just kind of go away. Like, maybe they come in and then out, and it's just like, it's just is what it is. And this baby crying means nothing about me as a person, as a mom, or whatever.
That's exactly right. That's exactly it. It's like, it's not that they don't necessarily come up, right? Like, I've had plenty of that, of, like, self-doubt and all of those things. And they don't last as long. Like, they don't send me into a whole long loop about how I'm a terrible mom, or, like, I can't do this, or whatever. And now there was actually one pattern that did show up, and I was like, I am not okay. but it's not to gloss over that, like, those things don't happen. They do, for sure. But also, I know what they are. Right. Like, I know what they are, and I know how to get resources and tools to help me shift through that so that I don't end up in that pattern for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. I mean, the resources piece, it's like, yeah, I mean, we're human. So no matter how much work we do, we're going to have something that's going to come up. It's just a matter of, do you know how to handle it, other than, like, shoving it back down, or, like, you know, just, like, not handling it at all and thinking that that's handling it. I think that's what a lot of people are doing right now. And so I'm kind of personally working on a lot more, like, emotional processing, because I do have that tendency of, like, oh, I feel really angry right now, but I can't be angry, so I'm going to, like, just push that aside. I'm going to go do something else. And so, like, really bringing that to my awareness of, like, No, because I talk to my kids all the time about emotional processing. It's like, all right, time for me to like walk the walk here. So, definitely working on that for my own personal journey, at this point. And it's good. Like, it's uncomfortable maybe, because if you don't know how to process your emotions, it's maybe a little uncomfortable. But I was like literally looking up buying a punching bag before this interview, because I think it could be so helpful for like our whole family to like just let out that emotion and that anger when it comes up, and having somewhere to do that.
And I think that, okay, last point here, because I want to touch on that really quickly. It's just that also when you're able to process your own stuff, like you mentioned, like you're teaching your kids how to do it. So also you walk the walk. When you're able to process your emotions and then teach your kids that, what ends up happening is that we get less of them being in the chaos of like, big emotions, and like they don't know what to do with them, and you don't know what to do with them, and then everybody is just in like blah mode. There's like no guide for any of it. You can teach them what those emotions are, and then you can teach them once they're out of that, then you can get once you can bring that logical brain back in, then you can be like, hey, so that's what this is. Here are some ways that we can work on that, right? So or work with that. And this is, this is what that is. Because it can be really scary, right? When kids don't know what those emotions are. Like, imagine being so angry and like feeling this really, really big emotion and not knowing what it is. And then, it makes sense, right? Of like why they end up in the chaos of all of it. And teenagers get this way too, right? They sink into that lot, that emotional brain, and then it's just like, okay, we'll just wait until we get out of this one. And on the flip side, though, also teaching your kids not to numb it out, right? Like, how many kids do you often see? And I know I was this way as a teenager. I completely repressed all of my emotions, and so when something would happen, I'd be like, like, yeah, this hurts, but like, whatever. And then I wouldn't want to talk about it, and I would just totally numb it out and disassociate from it, which is also very unhealthy as a pattern, right? So when you're able to work on your own things, then you can teach your kids like, hey, actually, I know this hurts, but this is really, really important to feel and to work through and get out of your body. And then, let's talk about it and, see what we can come up with after that versus numbing it out and just like completely ignoring it and pretending that it's not a thing when it's actually a very, very real thing. And what happened was very hurtful, right? That's a whole different situation of how we can teach our kids to be very emotionally intelligent, which we need, not just for ourselves, but we need this in the world, right? And so anyway, when you're able to, not saying that we're ever perfect at it, but also this is that, that's modeling for your kids. They're mirroring everything that we do. So raising them to be able to know what their emotions are and that other people's emotions are their own and not theirs. And that whole scenario creates a very, 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 very stable, but very different, scenario, right? Than like what we're used to.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I could talk for hours about
I
kids
know.
and
We
emotional
could.
awareness. I would really love to, and maybe we'll
We
do
could.
that another time. But
Yes.
why don't you share with us what you are working on and all the ways of like how we can find you, how people can work with you,
Thank you.
share all the things.
Yeah, so right now I have a course. So if you are really aligning with any of this talk today, I have a worthy like masterclass that is really, I love it. So if you kind of aligned with that, like, oh yes, my achievements are tied to my sense of self-worth or anything like that, it's a great class to come and join in on. So I'll definitely make sure that Megan has the link for that. And then that is kind of like a starting place. I am creating also a course for moms around mindset. So mindset for motherhood is what it will be. And it's really about addressing a lot of these pieces that we talked about today, digging into some of the big emotions, the triggers, the big topics that come up, around motherhood, processing your birth, the labor process, right? Like, addressing all of those big pieces so that moms can really not only just do it for them, but also be able to show up for their families in the way that they want to, and the best version of who they are, and not just for your family, but in the other areas of your life as well, because you're not just a mom. So, yeah, that's what I'm up to. And you can find me at drkirsten.com, or you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Kirsten. That's where I'm the most active. So come find me there and come chat with me. I would love to hear if you had some sort of breakthrough from this, or like an aha moment from this podcast episode. I would love to hear from you and hear about it. So yeah, that's where you can find me. And you can do work on, I do
Wonderful.
private coaching too, but anyway, those are the things that I'm up to right now.
I'm so excited to see those things just come to life. I think moms, well, it'd be so helpful, like life-changing, world-changing to have moms like just kind of work through their stuff, work through their triggers. So I love, love, love that. Kirsten, thank you so much for being here and taking the time to share with the Redeeming Roots podcast crew. I just appreciate you and everything that you're doing is wonderful. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Megan.
Hey, look at you go. You made it all the way to the end of the episode. That is something to celebrate. Do you know how many people don't finish the things they start? If you liked this episode and want to support me and my mission to help people find purpose, heal their past, and get results, share the love. It would be amazing if you would leave a rating and review or take a screenshot and share it on social media. And if you're ready to dig deep, do the work, and get results, head on over to redeemingrootscoaching.com to join the email list and book a discovery call to see if working together would be a good fit. Thank you so much for listening today. See you next time.